Thank you for that. Let's stand this evening one more time, if you are able, and we'll read the scripture. Okay, I want you to turn, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. And Oscar, I need to kick this up a little notch. It just seems like it's not as loud and as crisp. As loud. Hey, there you go. Good. That's a little bit better there. We're getting there. Okay, Ezekiel chapter 8. Now, I know we're reading responsively lately, but here's what we're going to do. This is a big stretch of scripture. So I'm going to read Ezekiel chapter 8, verses 1 to 18 myself, and then we'll flip over to Ezekiel 14, and there's a few verses there, and we'll read those together. Okay, so Ezekiel chapter 8, verse number 1, and I'm going to read this, and I'll read to verse 18. And then I'll have you go over to Ezekiel chapter 14. Verse 1, "And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord fell upon me there. Then I beheld, and lo, the likeness of the appearance of fire, from the appearance of the loins even downward, fire, and from his loins even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of his hand, and took me by a lock of mine head. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh towards the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the Lord of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way towards the north. So I lifted up mine eyes the way towards the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. And he said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in. And behold, the wicked abominations that they do there. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, an abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jehazimiah, the son of Shaphan, with every man a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. For they say, The Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Then said he unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, which had their backs towards the temple of the Lord, and their faces towards the east. And they worshiped the sun towards the east. Then he said unto me, Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. Lo, they put the branch to the nose. Therefore will I also deal in mine fury. Mine hand shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them." Now, Ezekiel chapter 14, please. A couple of chapters over. We're going to read verses 1 to 5. We will read the odd verses together. So we'll read verse 1, 3, and 5 out loud together. I will read verses 2 and 4. Ready? Begin. "Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me, and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, These men have set up their idols in their heart and have put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Shall I be inquired of all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I might take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. And let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. And I pray tonight, the few minutes we have together, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us to be honest with ourselves. And Lord, help us to just get what you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The introduction will be a little bit longer tonight, but I want you to get it before we get into the message. Typically, I know what I'm preaching on pretty early. I know I'm preaching on at the beginning of the week, the next week. I already get that. But this week, as I was Thursday thinking about something and praying about a truth in the Bible, this thought came to me, and so I completely switched it. It's something I've read these portions of Scripture many times, and the thought has been there. I've never put it together. But as I was meditating on it, some thoughts came to mind, and a truth came to mind, and I want us to get it. And so, listen intently at the beginning, and then you can sleep the rest of the message, okay? Just kidding. People talk a lot today about being genuine, right? You ever hear that? Let's just be genuine. The new catchphrase everybody uses is authentic. What do they mean by authentic? What they mean by that is you're just and honest we're honest in our life about who we are. In other words, what you see from us is what you get. We're the real deal. Sometimes we find out that people are not who they really seem to be. Now, I don't watch the news, but I remember as a kid, several times, you know, you see a story about somebody who all of a sudden starts killing their neighbors, and they kill 3 or 4 people, and you find out they had a really nice job, and they were a really nice guy, and they always go interview their neighbor, and they're like, we're shocked. This was a nice guy, and we never thought he would do something like that. But yet they did. Now, I will say this, not that we all line up with everything we say, but we try to. And to the best of our ability, we do that. God wants us to be genuine, the real deal. If we're not careful, we aren't really who we portray that we are. People call that a double life. You know, someone's leading a double life. I read a story about a deputy sheriff. His name was Gerard Schaefer. In the early 70s, he was a deputy sheriff in Florida. But they come to find out, and he was arrested in the early 70s, he was using his position to really be a serial killer and ended up killing over 30 ladies. But yet everybody that talked to him is, this guy's a deputy sheriff. He's a great guy. But yet there was something there that people didn't see. Ezekiel, in our scripture here, was a priest. Eventually, God made him a prophet. A prophet, he was one of the prophets that was taken into exile in Babylon, and there he lived. True prophets were not popular because they told the truth from God, and people usually don't like that. By the way, not much has changed, okay? People don't want to hear the truth, and it's like, then what do you want to hear, a lie? The lies don't help. The truth helps. He was a prophet, and he told the truth. Most people like false prophets who will say what they want to hear and will promote something that appeals to the flesh. That's true today as it was back then. In chapter 8, the story we see, Ezekiel is sitting in his house in captivity. And some of the religious guys and the leaders are there to see the prophet. And they're hanging out at the prophet's house. They would come there to see if God would speak anything to them. And as this group is at the house, at Ezekiel's house, God gives Ezekiel a vision. And in the vision, God transports Ezekiel back to Jerusalem in this vision and shows him some things that are disturbing. First, he transports him back to the temple. And in the temple, there is an idol, the image of jealousy that causes jealousy. There shouldn't be an idol in the temple of God. And yet there it is. They were incorporating in their worship a false idol. So God shows him that. Then he's taken to another place in the temple and he sees a little hole in the wall. And he digs it out and then there's a door and he goes in. And in a hidden chamber are these men. There's 70 of the elders. And each of them are there doing various types of worship to all these different gods. And many of them were portrayed or their pictures were on the wall. But that's not all. Then God transports him and takes him to the gate of the temple. And they see the women there worshiping a god called Tammuz, which is a fertility deity, false deity. And then finally, he are taken to a spot on the porch of the temple where there was a 25 men. And I hope you caught that in the scripture reading. It's like their back was to the temple and they're facing the east and they're worshiping the sun god right there in the open. These were men that should fear God, Jews, God-fearing men. And yet here they are involved in this idolatrous worship. And then as we're taken to chapter 14, here again are some of these spiritual leaders of Israel. And they come by to see the prophet and hear the truth of God's word and talk to him a little bit. And as they're there, God starts speaking and gives Ezekiel a vision again and tells him that these men, although they're here and they're talking to you about the Lord and they're seemingly spiritual, those men sitting before him, God tells Ezekiel, they have idols in their heart. Well, the thoughts we're going to look at, the thought we're going to look at tonight, we're going to key in on four verses. Look back again at Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 12. That's one of our key verses. He said, "Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of Israel, of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth." Back in that first chapter, that one of the visions he saw men that were portrayed that they were worshiping the true God, and yet they're hiding out in this secret chamber of imagery, and they're hiding out there so that people don't know, and secretly they're worshiping a false god. And then in Ezekiel chapter 14, God tells them in verse 3, "Son of man, these men have set up idols in their heart and put a stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I at all be inquired of them?" And he says basically a remix of the same thing in the next verse. These men that outwardly were portraying that they were serving the living God, but yet they had a secret life. They had a double life, and inwardly they were not serving God. And inwardly there were some serious issues in their life. They were trying to hide the truth about what was really going on in their life when outwardly they were trying to portray that everything was all right. That can be true of any of us tonight, is it not? To varying degrees. Sometimes we have little things going on in our life and we're not dealing with them and we're not taking care of them. But on the flip side over here, we can have some really horrible things going on in our life that we're not dealing with. Outwardly, we're portraying that everything is okay, but yet inwardly, there are some things that we are allowing that we should not. Here's the point. We know each other on a surface type of level. And I know we have many of you. Look, Sunday night, you're the cream of the crop, you're the core. You're and we have a lot of good people. And I'm not saying you're not a good people. We're great people. But I'll say this: only you know who you really are. Only you know who you really are. Deep in that place, in your heart, and in your mind, only you know what is down there. Only you, I'm not saying perfect because none of us are perfect. We all fight sin and but you know what I'm talking about. Some people have deep down in their heart, they are nothing like what they're trying to portray or trying to be on the outward. So here's the question I want to ask you. Who are you when you really are who you really are? Who are you? not on the outward surface. And by the way, who you are inwardly will show itself outwardly, but you can fake it sometimes. Can you not? But who are you when you really are who you really are? When you're by yourself, down in your heart, that place that nobody else sees. Tonight, I want us to be honest. I'm going to show us four areas mentioned briefly in these verses where we can find out who we really are. These secret areas that show us who we really are when we are being who we really are. First of all, I want you to see the secret worship. That's where it all started. Secret worship. Chapter 14, verse 1. He said, Son of man, these men have set up idols in their heart. That was the core of what was going on. The core of what was going on is they were worshiping that which was false in their life, not outwardly. Outwardly, they were at the temple. Outwardly, these people were, you know, showing that they were the right people. These men came to Jeremiah like, all right, let's go through the pretense. Let's go see the prophet, or you want to, let's go see the preacher. And here they are. Is there any word from the God? Is God talking to you lately? Is God showing us what's going on? And yet God is whispering in Ezekiel's ear, these men have idols in their heart. They're not true. These men are not genuine at all. There's idols in their heart. This is a pretense. This isn't really who they are. They're secret worship. They hid what they really worshiped even when they were in the place of true worship. Those that were back at the temple, they were in the right place where they should be worshiping the right God. But even when they were in the right place where the right worship should happen, in their heart, wrong worship was happening. We've said it on many times. Worship is what is important to you. By the way, that was going to bring judgment in their life. What a sad thing it is to be at the very place of true worship, the temple, or for us, the church, and yet we worship or put a high value on that which is not right. It's a struggle for every one of us. What about us? I love the Lord. I got a Bible. Even has my name on the outside. I read with you in the church service. That's great. What's really important to you? What's number one in your life? What is that thing that you'd give everything for? Not what you would tell us, but what really is important to you. You know what it is. And by the way, it'll eventually come out, but you know what's really important to you. They had all kinds of idols. These guys were worshiping pictures on the wall, creeping things. That's like bugs. They all had their own God. Animals, before you get mad on them, we worship animals today. We call it animal rights activists. By the way, I love animals. They're delicious. Some gravy. Mashed potatoes. I love animals. And it's funny. One of the leaders there was Jehananiah. His dad was Shaphan. You know who Shaphan was? Shaphan was the guy who found the book of the law in the temple, and he took it to Josiah and read it before Josiah, and it started a huge revival. And yet here he is with a good, godly upbringing, a good father, and yet here he is. Not a good, good father. We ain't going there. A good father, and yet here he is worshiping an idol secretly. There are many false idols in our day today. Sports. You say, I want to get over my like of sports. Start following a bad team. That'll cure you right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, look, I don't have a problem worshiping the Lakers. They stink. Okay? But we're in sports, and there's nothing wrong with sports, but you know what? We put on a pedestal. That, by the way, there's people in our church, that's their God. You say, how do you know? Wait till football season starts. Yeah, their team's playing, and it's on TV. They ain't being here. That's their God. By the way, I hope their God loses. They're not my God, trust me. They are false. Entertainment. there's just this one group or this one person. I just love them. Most of them make me nauseous. Even the ones that say they're Christians. Okay? These not, oh, I'm a Christian. No, you're about as Christian as my toe. Well, my toe is Christian because I'm a Christian. They're as Christian as my shoe. Money. By the way, that's probably the biggest God people worship. Okay? And by the way, money's good. It helps pay your bills. I don't know if you knew that. Okay? When you go buy something, money really helps. But we make it our God. We'll work instead of come to church if we can get a little extra money. Our careers. And by the way, work hard at your job and do the best you can. And if you can get promotions and do that, but don't put that ahead of your family. Don't put that ahead of the Lord. And people do that all the time. What's really important in your life? A lot of us, it's ourselves. Please be honest and ask yourself this question right here. Deep down in my heart, does God really reign supreme? And if you ask God, can I just tell you what happens? He shows you every single time. Lord, is there anything? Sometimes people ask questions of somebody. You know, have I done something wrong to you? And it's like the person said, well, by the way, you have. And it's like, I didn't expect you to answer that. Okay, well, don't ask. You know, if you ask God, Lord, is there something in my heart? Is this really becoming too big in my life? Do you know God will reveal that to you? And you need to deal with it. You had a false God in your heart. By the way, let me just give you a couple thoughts here quickly before we go to the next secret life. How do I get victory? And by the way, you know, we're called Christians because we are saved by Christ and we're following Christ. But really, if we were called by that what we worship, I wonder what we would be called. Right? Golfians? You know, whatever it is. How do you get victory over this? You know how you can get victory over this? Have your devotions. By the way, I'm not against devotional books. I'll read some of them because they have a little verse, but that's not my devotions. My devotions is reading my Bible. And we've passed them out before because it's a good thought to have maybe at dinner or something. But no, you know, open it up, reading two verses, listening to a guy tell you a story, and then applying it in two chapters is not devotions. That's a supplement, right? Look, I take supplements. That's not dinner. I don't say, what's for dinner? Vitamin C. That's not dinner. Okay? Great. Now, gravy, that's vitamin G. That's all over the place. No, that's a supplement. But throw down those animals I love with some mashed potatoes and gravy. That's the main course. This Bible is the main course. We've got to be in this. Listen, it's kind of hard to have an idol in your life when you're listening to the true and living God every single day. He's going to be rebuking everything that's going to try to worm its way into your heart. It puts a wall of protection there. Our devotions rebuke the false gods that are trying to dislodge God from our heart. And then also by your meditations. What do you think about? We're going to talk about that in a little, but what I mean by that, you know, I think that's why the Lord says this, pray without ceasing. Does that mean we're supposed to walk around on our knees all day? I can't talk to you. I'm talking to God. No, prayer ought to always, being able to say something to God ought to just always be there. You're driving down the street and you see something good and say, boy, Lord, that's your creation. That's beautiful. Someone does something nice for you. Hey, Lord, thank you for doing that right now. Doesn't mean you drop to your knees and let me, no. We need to have time of prayer. Don't get me wrong. But prayer ought to always, it ought to just be easy in our mind just to throw a sentence up. You wake up in the middle of the night. Hey, Lord, thank you for this day I'm going to have. Thank you for allowing me to wake up. And then also meditate day and night. Always be thinking about scripture. In every situation in life, you ought to think, is there a scripture that God said something about that? Did you hear something today or read something today that made an impact on you? Think about it through the day. If we're doing that, it's going to be kind of hard for an idol to creep its way into our life. Secret worship. But it gets worse. Chapter 8 and verse 12. For they say, the Lord seeth us not. Secret life. Secret life. God's not paying attention here. God forsook us. He has no idea what's going on, so we can do whatever it is we want. And that's exactly what they did. Even though they believed that God didn't see them, they hid it from the people that worship the true God. Think about that for a minute. God doesn't see us, but we don't want the other people to see it. They're being hypocritical. That makes little sense. Deep down, they knew that God knows what's going on, but they can live like he doesn't know what's going on as long as others don't see it. That's the height of stupidity. I'm going to hide my life from everybody else. Can I just tell you something? You're never going to hide it from God. And we intuitively, we kind of know that. We try to block it out of our mind, but yet we still do it. That's something we have to deal with as humans. We've always struggled from that. We hide it from our fellow mankind. If we can keep people from knowing what's going on in our life, we'll just keep doing the things we know we shouldn't ask. Do you have a secret life tonight? Is there something going on that other people don't know? By the way, just the times we live in, it's so much easier, isn't it? It's easier to do it, and it's easier to get ensnared in it. What are you doing in your life? Check your social media. Now, it's social media, but it's so much easier now to use it to connect with a few people that'll keep everything secret with you. Okay? Let's be very careful about that. Parents, watch your children. You say, my children aren't, they don't. And by the way, I'll say it again, and you won't listen, but I guess I'm paid to say it. I don't think children ought to have a cell phone. Let me say this. I'm a child and I have one. Okay, let me backstep. I don't think children in high school ought to have one. If your child gets out of high school and they're a little immature, they shouldn't get one until they are mature. And I know, if they need to call me if they're on an activity. Brother Ross, can they use your phone on an activity? Dan, you go on the activities. Can they use your phone? We're good. Got a basis covered for you. It's so easy to lead a secret life there. By the way, you kids in school, listen up here for a minute. You better watch what you're doing behind what you think you're hiding. God has a really unique way of letting us catch that stuff. And by the way, thank God he does. Because it's so much easier when you're hiding behind it and you got a little group to go farther than you really ought to go. Be very careful, social media. Now, you adults too. Got your little private accounts, and now they got these direct messages and all that nonsense. Delete. I don't look at my Instagram account all that often. Brother Rawl's the only one that direct messages me, and I'm not running off with him. He's not my type. It's usually something political or something. He goes, hey, check this picture out, you know, and he sends it to me. And my wife's okay with that. So, but listen, social media, be very careful. You say, but it's social, everybody knows. But then you connect with somebody. And you take that which was social, and now you bring it to the secret. You say, you have no idea what you're talking about. This isn't my first rodeo. Okay? I've seen this movie. I've done this. Social media. What about your communications? It used to be back in the day, emails. Emails first came out. Be careful, you're going to hook up with an old girlfriend or an old boyfriend. Then it's texting. You know what texting is? Instantaneous email. Who are you in communication with? Let me just make this point, and I hope you take this. If it's someone you have no business being in contact with, don't be in contact with them. And if you have to be in contact with them and they start taking it a different direction, blow it up. Just blow it up. Okay? And I don't know, sometimes, and it's weird, numbers change and people, someone texts my wife a while ago, she was texting somebody and they changed their number. And she texted them and then my wife showed me a phone. They said, hey, I'm updating my profile, send me a picture of yourself. And my wife knew there was something wrong with that, so I said, give me your phone. So I went to the internet and I downloaded a picture of Frankenstein's bride. And I texted back to the person. And they texted back to me, and it's words I cannot use in church. Okay? Listen, don't let it go about. Some of you are going to get yourself in trouble. And you know it. You're hiding your communications. How about your time on the internet? Okay, watch out. There's a lot of bad stuff on the internet. Bad stuff. And you can find it pretty easily.
I'm going to say this one. I was going to say something, but I can't. But it's be very careful. Don't be, if you have to hide from everybody to be on the internet, there's a problem. The fact that you're hiding shows there's a reason you're hiding. I know in a crowd this size, there's some of you that are struggling with some things. Say, how do I get help? Let me finish here and I'll help you. The internet. And let me say this one. How about your music? Let me just say this, and let me just say it straight out. Too many people that say they're Christians listen to secular music, and you're never going to be a good Christian. I'm just going to say it. I listen to Mozart. He's dead, and he doesn't have words to his music. Okay. Now, if there's some, there's probably some rock band, Mozart. Yeah. I have been involved with too many conflicts with people, not me, but trying to help, and I see the text, and whenever the conversation goes bad, the text starts sounding like a rap song. Where are you getting those words from? Where are you getting that anger from? You're getting it from your garbage music. You're not going to be a good Christian. You're not going to have good thoughts in your mind if you're listening to that secular garbage. And since you asked, it bothers me that all the CCM artists, their favorite artists are secular bands. Do the research. Who's your influence? You know, I like the Beatles and Led Zeppelin. By the way, I like Led Zeppelin too. I don't listen to it anymore. Because it's garbage. My flesh loves it. If I'm at a restaurant and that song, and it's one of the songs I remember comes in the background, it's like, I know that one. Now, if it's Air Supply, something my wife used to like, it's like, forget that garbage. It's a bunch of sissy music. My flesh still likes it. Be very, very careful. There's nothing in there. And the worst of the worst is rap. And hit all that. Stop it. So I'm glad you said that. I listen to country and western. Country western's depressing. You lose everything. Someone said if you play country and western music backwards, you get your truck back, you get your wife back, you get your dog back. Someone told me there was a song, a country western song. The title was this: My Best Friend Just Ran Off With My Wife and I Sure Do Miss Him. It's the kind of stuff. Let's be very careful. I've been at this too long. I'm trying to be spiritual, but yet you're pumping. Pumping. I met with a guy when I was in Monterey Park. He had been coming to church for a year there. Good guy. And he was talking about some things, and we went out to eat, and we were talking. He goes, there's just a couple things in the church I'm not 100% on board with, not doctrinal things, but just some practical things. I'm like, you know, those are minor things. It's not a big deal. He goes, okay, good, because I like to. And then he said, I like to listen to my rock music. And I'm like, well, time out. We weren't talking about that. I said, that's not. I said, that's something you shouldn't be listening to. And I explained to him. We had a conversation about it. Be very, very careful. I wonder sometimes. I get frustrated. See people, and you're trying to help them get to the next level and trying to help them grow in their faith. And it's like, why is it there's like a ceiling? I'm telling you, one of the things is the music you listen to. You say, but I don't like Christian music. Can I just tell you something? Neither did I. When I went to church as an 18-year-old, and I'm sitting there, and come on, I'm listening to Led Zeppelin and the Scorpion, all that stuff. That's what I listened to. And I'm there, and I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. But I knew my rock music was bad, so I threw it away, and I'm like, listen, I don't like the church stuff, but I ain't listening to that stuff. I won't listen to anything. But you know what happened? I'd sit in church, and I'd hear him sing, and I'm like, that's good. And God changed my appetite. And God changed my heart. And I'm like, listen to the message of that song. That's encouraging. We spent a lot of time on that. But let's be very careful. Ask yourself, are there any secret? Do you have a secret compartment of your life that nobody knows about? How can I get over this if I do have some secret things in my life? Very simple. Welcome accountability. If you're struggling with something, get accountable to somebody. You say, well, I'm struggling with something on the internet. That's very easy. don't have access to it. Have a password that you don't know and only use the internet in a place where there's people around and someone else can sign in for you. That's not popular, is it? But if you're really trying to get over something that's horrific, that's the only way to do it. It's a struggle, accountability. People don't like, I'm an adult, I don't need accountability. You do. We all do. Well, you know, I don't need to tell my wife where I am all the time. Listen, my family knows where I am all the time. That's one thing. I have a schedule. Just my life is so scheduled. Certain times I'm just doing certain things. That's how my life is. But they also have find my friends. I know exactly where I'm at. Okay? So aren't you an adult? Can't you take care of yourself? Yes, I am an adult. Yes, I can take care of myself. But I have nothing to hide from them. They can know where I'm at all the time. My wife can look at my phone all the time. Anytime she wants, it's hers. But you know the thumbprint? I think your thumbprint's on there. Okay, and she usually takes it because she drains her battery and she needs someone else's phone. How about this? You know how else you can get over this? Fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. If you realize that someone is watching you, no one sees me. Do you know God always sees you? That's what fear of the Lord is. Realizing God knows everything about me and I'm accountable to him. Think about that. And that'll help you. So secret life. How about this? Secret sin. Number three. In chapter 14, it says, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart. And what's the result of that? And put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. In other words, what they were doing with the idols was putting a stumbling block. It was giving an opportunity for them to sin and do wrong. It was putting it in their path. That's what always happens. When God is lowered in our life, sin is the opportunity to sin is always raised. Do you have any secret sins in your life? We mentioned some in the secret life, but is there a sin you're struggling with nobody else knows about and you need help with it? By the way, it usually starts where in our mind where we start giving regard to it. I love this verse in Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Not that I even have iniquity. I just, you know, sometimes you kids in our school, well, you know, we can't do this, but boy, I wish I could. No, you just regarded iniquity in your heart. But I want to find out what God says about the whole situation. Are you struggling with a sin? You flirting with immorality? Struggling with pornography? Is there some other sin in your life that you want to get help with, and it just seems like you're struggling with it? Or maybe you're not. Maybe you're doing it, and it's like you're thinking, no one knows what's going on, and come on, it's not that big a deal. Yes, it is a big deal. Well, no one knows about it. Come on. It's not hurting anybody but me. By the way, the Bible tells us, be careful. Your sin will find you out. And by the way, it is eventually going to come out, and it is going to hurt you. It's going to hurt those around you. Hey, teens, are you trying to skirt around the rules? I know some of you got your little secret group, and you guys kind of connect here. And at school, it's like, oh, hello. And I've been doing this way too long. Just back in the day, they used to do it with notes. Now they do it with social media and cell phones, iPads. Be very careful. It's so easy to let that stuff creep in. Let's fight it. Let's fight it. Be honest and ask yourself, is there any sin that I'm involved with that I'm hiding and I'm hoping no one finds out about? How can I have victory over this? Very simple. Confess and forsake. Confess and forsake. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now, some sin needs to be confessed outwardly, publicly. Not publicly, but outwardly or to the person. Now, some doesn't. If I got upset with George and George knows nothing about it and I've been angry with him in my heart, I can deal with it the Lord and forgive him and move on. I don't need to go up to him and say, you know what, George, I've been angry at you and I just want to let you know I'm over it now. That's not going to help. But some things, we need to confess all of our sin to the Lord. And confessing isn't just, all right, God busted me, let me confess it, and I'm going to go back to doing it. No, no, no. Confession means you agree with God. In other words, Lord, you know what? I know this was wrong. And I know I shouldn't have done this, and would you please forgive me, and I'm going to overcome it. That's what you do. Confession and forsaking.
Don't the longer you are in a sin, the harder it is to break free. I used to do this when I preached to the children a lot. We would talk about Samson and sin, and I would get a thread. And I'd have someone come up, and usually an adult, and say, okay, let me, and I'd wrap the thread around their wrist a couple times. So I'd say, okay, now break it. And, you know, thread's light, boop, break it. And then we would put it on there, and we'd do it four or five times, and then break it. And they'd, a little more of a struggle, but they could break it. It's just thread. Thread's easy to break. And then you kept doing it more and more, and they'd struggle a little bit more. And eventually that little thread, the more you wrap around there, even though it's thread, there's so much of it, you can't break it anymore. That's how sin is. Okay? The more you're involved and the more you let it get into your heart, the harder it is to dig out. Now, you can with God's grace and God's help. Don't get me wrong. But the point I'm making is do it up front. Do it right away. Don't let it fester. Don't hide it. And then watch your companions. A lot of times our sin starts with who we're hanging around with. Just like I talked about the music, the reason it's hard for us to be right with God if we have the wrong music, because we're hanging around with people that are telling us thoughts and truths that are completely contrary to the Word of God, and we wonder why we struggle. Same thing is true if we have people in our life we're allowing, and they live contrary to God's Word, and they're influencing us, and we wonder why we struggle. Man, it's hard. Listen, if you hang around someone that loves God, it's hard to start talking nonsense to them, right? And it's a little easier to say, hey, I'm struggling with something. Now you got someone that'll help you. The last thing is this, secret thoughts. Secret thoughts. Chapter 8 and verse 12 again, he said, you see what the house of Israel does in the dark. Every man in the chambers of his imagery, hidden. Chapter 14, verse 3, son of man, these men have set up idols, where? In their heart. Verse 4, in their heart. Deep down in their emotions, in their mind, in their thinking, that's where it started. We know that's where sin starts. What we allow in our mind is going to come out in our action. You know, we hear the phrase sometimes, oh, this person struggled and they fell into sin. No, they didn't fall in. Nobody falls into sin. Nobody falls into sin. Bob Jones, a senior, said, behind every tragedy in human character is a slow process of wicked thinking. You know what that means? It started in the mind, and it lodged there. And they didn't get it out, and they dwelled on it, and they thought about it. And like the Bible says, they were regarding iniquity in their heart, and it started to ruminate there. And what's going to happen? It's going to come out in their life. Guard your mind, or guard your heart. We know these verses well, do we not? Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What? The things that have the right virtues. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, pushed into the world's mold, just like everybody else, but ye transformed, changed, completely changed by the renewing of your mind. Who you are is going to be determined by what you think. And what you think is going to be determined by what you feed your mind. So start it there. The battle we all must fight. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down, these are military terms of conquering. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I think it was Spurgeon that said, you know, it's like thoughts in our mind. Thoughts may come into our mind, but we don't have to let them build a nest. We all have something that comes in our mind, like, it's like, hey, man, that's not the right way for a Christian to think. We bring that into obedience of Christ. We bring it, I'm not going to think like that. How's your thinking tonight? That's it, Brother Grandy. How can I get victory over that? Two things, very simple. Put the right in. Whatsoever things are true, honest, blah, 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 blah. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think, put the right things in. The right things in, write things out. Very simple. You cannot control how what you put in your mind comes out in your life, but you can control what you put into your mind.
Brother Grandy gave that illustration about the being in the movie house. Years ago, there used to be the same thing out at Knoxbury Farm. It used to be out on the lake. It was like a dome, and you'd walk into the dome, and everywhere in the dome was video. I think my wife and I went there on our honeymoon, and everything in the dome was like a video, and you had to hold on to the bar, and they would do you were on a fire truck going to a fire, and it was sped up like 20 times, you know, and you're screaming down the street, and every time it would turn, you're like this, and then all of a sudden they tricked you. They had a car pull out in front of the fire truck, and the fire truck put the brakes on, and here you are like, nothing's moving. Nothing. I let go of it for a second, and I'm like, I started to lean. I'm like, I better hold on. There was only one way to not react to what I was seeing. I closed my eyes. As soon as I closed my eyes, I didn't need to hold the bar, but as soon as I hold the bar, it's like, whoa. Why? Control what you put. What you put in is going to cause reactions. So be careful that you put the right in. And what would be the second thought there? Keep the wrong out. Very simple. If you put the wrong in, wrong is going to come out. Who are you tonight? Who are you when you really are being who you really are? Do you have some secrets in your life that nobody knows? It's time to work on those things. Some of them might be minor things that are just starting to lodge and they're not causing a problem, but you can see it starting to creep in. Deal with those things right away. But some of you might have went to the far side. It's like, I have some things I'm hiding. You might want to get that out. You might want to start work. Don't let it ruin your life. It's always going to come due. And even if it didn't, like Ezekiel sitting there, and all the men are sitting there, and they're probably asking spiritual questions. Did God speak to you? How's the cap? When are we going back? And did God give you? And Ezekiel's hearing from God. These guys have idols in their heart. It's not true. But they were faking themselves out. What do you got going on tonight? Let's not be secretive. Let's be open and honest before God, and let's not let anything get a hold of our mind. A beachfront, you know, it gets in there and now it's got a lodging place to work from. Let's stand this evening.